Church, thank you so much for being such a generous people for our community, for our God, for our church. It's been really cool this year just to see so many people step into generosity, and I have no doubts tonight is still more of the same. Well, tonight is kind of interesting for me. Tonight is my second night doing Christmas Eve services. I'm only marginally nervous this time. I'd say 98% nervous, 2% confident. It's going to be a great night. So I started reminiscing, like something to take the edge off. And I thought, you know what? This summer, my wife and I got to celebrate 18 years of an amazing marriage. We've been married for 20, but 18 years of it has been amazing. Really, it's been 20 years great for me, probably 18 for Katie, but bless her, she's putting up with me. But it's been really cool for the last 20 years, which makes my memory of 21 years ago today to be actually kind of special. 21 years ago today, we're engaged, we're going to the family Christmases, so Christmas Eve, we go to my mom and dad's house, we're going to have dinner, my sister's there with her husband, mom and dad have like a big spiel where we do some games and we play some, you know, we eat some food, it's a big meal. My mom always overcooks everything, like enough food to feed four or five of our family. So we get there for Christmas Eve, Katie and I get there, and we walk into the kitchen, and my dad's in the kitchen, and my dad is never in the kitchen unless we're eating in the kitchen, especially on big meal preparation day, like my sister, my mom, sometimes Katie, but my dad is in the kitchen, and I'm like, what's going on? Is Jesus coming back? What have I missed? So I go into the kitchen, and he's not even helping with the food. He's actually laying on the floor, installing my mom's new Christmas gift. You see, my dad, so thoughtful, so kind, so efficient, he bought my mom a brand new dishwasher. Now, in my mind, I'm new to this, right? I'm learning, I'm trying to figure out how to do things for your spouse because I know by this time next year we'll be married. So I have this internal dialogue, this conversation in my head. I'm like, little boy, that's a good job, Dad. Wait, it's efficient, it's needed, it's necessary. What a great thoughtful gift. You see, my mom's dishwasher had gone out about a year before, and for Christmas this year, he bought her a gift, a brand new dishwasher. So we go on about the night, we have our dinner, we go and we get together and we play some games, some card games like our family often does, and the evening starts to wear down, so we all go and we sit in the living room. Katie snuggles up next to me on the couch, gets right over next to me. We're just having a good time watching a movie or football, I can't remember, and she leans over right up in my ear, like gonna whisper some little cute thing in my ear, and I'm like, hey. She says, don't ever buy me a dishwasher for Christmas. And then just comes right back over, grins, has a great rest of the night. Like, my mind was wrecked that night. Like, to me, this was a great gift. This was an important gift. This was necessary and helpful. But I learned something from my wife that night that I think applies to a lot of us. Gifts aren't just meant to be efficient. Gifts probably can be useful, but there's something more to a gift when it's thoughtful, when it's affectionate, when it's specifically tailored for somebody. Every good gift has a story. And to my mom, there was probably a really good story of why she was excited about a dishwasher. Before my wife, she wasn't having it. So we understood each other a little bit better that night. And it really made me think, like, from that day forward, what about those good gifts? What about the story behind a good gift makes us think that was a good gift? Like, if I was to say, take a moment and think back to your favorite gift, it surely wasn't when somebody stopped by the gas station, picked up a gift card, and handed it to you. Maybe that's what you wanted, but it probably wasn't that. It maybe wasn't even an expensive gift. Maybe it was handcrafted or homemade or made by your second grader when she was in school before she got out for Christmas break. But every good gift that we've received typically has a story, a thoughtful, heartfelt, personalized, personal to you story, intentional, affectionate, personally tailored to you and for you. And something about it gets you in your feels. Something about it, those moments where you see it and it plays out, it feels good, it feels right, it feels like a very good thing. Every good gift has a story. So clear back to the beginning. If you're reading in your Bible, in the beginning, but really before that was written, long before that was written, really in the beginning, our great God, he also gave gifts. And they weren't just random gifts that he bought last minute. It was a gift that he had thought about, and presented at just the perfect time. Our good God began the universe with a gift. The first gift that our God ever gave was light. And God spoke into the nothingness, let there be light, and the gift of light began. And that light would sustain life and bring warmth and bring comfort and bring all these good things, bring about clarity and visibility to the life that would come after. This gift of light was authentic, and it was affectionate, and it was tailored specifically to us and for us. But God didn't just stop with the gift of light. Our generous God would continue to give and to create. And with each thing that he would create, he would say, this is what it needed to be. This is good. And he was well pleased with every good gift that he had given us. those of us that have had kids, or maybe if you can remember as a kid, that good gift that came. Like typically as a parent, you always kind of hold that good gift till the end, right? Like that Christmas gift or that birthday present where you put a couple of presents out for your young lad or your young girl, and she begins to open them up, and you get to the end, you're like, well, that's it. You've had it stuck underneath the bed or maybe in a closet somewhere or just outside the door outside. Like you're waiting for that moment, maybe even with more excitement than you think your kid probably will have when you get to give this gift to them. And then there's that beautiful moment where you usher the big, large, expensive, or thoughtful, or heartfelt project or gift out, and you give it to the recipient. And the joy that fills the room and the excitement and the good things, because we know that often good gifts are saved to last. And our God, he was the author of this, right? Our God knew after he created all of the things that we know in the universe, then God saved a great gift for last. He created mankind, man and woman created in the image of our God, unlike anything else that God had created, with a unique, specific design to be in family, in a close, loving relationship with our Heavenly Father and his kids. And the thing was so beautiful, and it was authentic, and it was honest, and it was real, and it was relational. And God created mankind and said, it is good. But part of the greatness of the gift that God gave would also be our biggest challenge. Woven into this gift of mankind was the freedom to make choices. And through the gift of choice that God gives us, God not wanting to be a God that forces his will or insists that we do something, God gives this ability for us to choose how we live, how we love, how we treat people, what we do, how we would go about this life. And this gift, this choice that God would give us, would ultimately become our downfall. It's a challenge that we couldn't sustain. It's an obstacle we couldn't overcome. Oftentimes when given a gift, we take advantage of the gift or of the giver, and we couldn't quite get it right. You see, God, because of who he is and who he was and the vastness and the greatness and the goodness of our God, to be in the presence of our God required perfection. And through this gift of choice, we couldn't get there. And we made mistakes. And not just generation humans. I mean, we know if we're looking at ourselves in the mirror, we make mistakes. We couldn't qualify for perfection. The Bible teaches, Romans 3:23 reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of our God. If God required perfection, we could never achieve it. So under the first arrangement, under the first agreement and the rules and the happenstance that goes along with that very first covenant, our relationship with God and his children, it was limited, it wasn't so personal, it was awkward, and we could never really live up to it. There were so many pieces to try to get us there when we would fail time and time again, disqualifying ourselves from the presence of our God through the sin that created separation from the goodness of our Heavenly Father. But God wasn't done giving gifts. And when the time was just right, God had saved the greatest gift till the end, the perfect gift. This gift was intentional. It was affectionate. It was tailored specifically for us and to us. This gift was not just a random thought on accident as God panicked and said, what should we do? But thought out and predicted and promised. Hints were given along the way in the Old Testament, things that would prepare us, sometimes subtle and sometimes so obvious, that God had prepared this gift from the very beginning of existence. This gift for us, tailored specific for us, a gift greater than any gift we could imagine. It was heartfelt. It was thought through. It was prepared for. And our loving God said, here, let me give this to you. A unique gift. And every Christmas we celebrate the birth of this gift. Jesus, come to us. Matthew, one of the closest followers of Jesus, he would explain that this was no ordinary baby. While most of us would agree the gift of a newborn babe is such an incredible gift, this gift was much different than that. Matthew writes down for us in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 20. And he, this is Joseph, considers this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. The greatest gift ever given came to us, God with us in the form of a baby, came to live with us. Our God came to live with us, to experience life like us, to know what we go through, to know what we experience, the highs and the lows and all the challenges we would face, to honestly and authentically experience the life and the creation that he had made. He gives a gift to us to know it with him. This gift was planned. This gift was thought through. This gift was prepared for. It was predicted. It was prophesied. It was hints that were dropped along the way. And all of these would be fulfilled in the birth of this child, this gift, our Savior, Jesus. Matthew continues in verse 22, knowing all the pieces that fit into what we would call the Christmas story. He says, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. A gift that would bring restoration to the original design of the relationship between God and his kids. Our Heavenly Father who endears us, who loves us, who has thought specifically of each one of us, to know each one of us by the number of hairs on our heads and the thoughts that we would have and the identity of our fingerprints and DNA all woven together and how specifically God creates us. And he sends Jesus the perfect gift to change the covenant, to change the relationship, the dynamic that we might have with the Creator, the God of the universe, a new way of interacting, a new closeness, a new personal association to our great God. Christmas is forgiving. And every year we celebrate and we give gifts away and we receive gifts. And if we only do that, we miss the completion, the fulfillment of God's design for what the gift of Christmas really is. The greatest gift ever given. Like any good gift, it was worth the effort. It was worth the pain, worth the sacrifice, worth all the effort that goes into building and preparing this gift. But only if the receiver accepts the gift. And if not, what have we done? Jesus came as a gift for you, and when you receive the gift of Jesus, it changes everything. When we accept the gift of our Heavenly Father that Jesus came, it brings fulfillment. It brings a reunion between us and our God that was brought to us by the separation through our sin. It brings strength to the weak, and it brings healing to the hurting. It brings purpose to my life. It brings freedom to those who have been addicted. It brings all of life for those who would accept it and receive it. And the only requirement for us is to receive the gift that our good God has offered to us. The greatest gift that we can receive is the gift that God offered that we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus, God with us, given for us. And through Jesus, we are made new, and by Jesus, we are complete, and in Jesus, we will be saved, and with him, we are set free. And all of the goodness and greatness of our God poured out on us, not because we deserved it, because of the gift that he offered for us. Christmas is forgiving. Jesus brought about the forgiveness to be forgiven of the debt that disqualified us from the presence of our God. The debt that we have done God wrong or God's creation wrong. And Jesus was offered as a gift to make it right, to pay the price for us that we might know him in completeness and wholeness. Jesus, a gift of forgiveness. It's the greatest gift you can have at Christmas. But also maybe the next greatest gift you could receive at Christmas is a gift that you get to give away. You see, through Jesus, we have been forgiven of all the wrongs we did against our God. And not because of our own power, not because of our own doing, but in us is Jesus working. And through his working on us, we can give the same gift to others, to forgive others that have done us wrong. Jesus canceled the debt that I owed my God, our God, because of the things I had done wrong. And through that, the greatest response of gratitude we can do is to live out that same level of forgiveness for those who have wronged us. And the crazy part is, it's not just a gift to give forgiveness to someone else. It's a gift that we give ourselves to be free of the debt that we have created, that they owe me for the wrong that they have done. It might be the second greatest gift about Christmas. Christmas is forgiving in that I can give away the same forgiveness that was offered me, that I can be free of the torture and the fatigue of the unforgiveness that I harbor in my heart, that I can release that through the power of Jesus at work in me and walk in the freedom of not worrying about trying to find revenge in those who have hurt me. Our natural, normal, supernatural response to the forgiveness offered me is to forgive those. Paul would sum it up so well like this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted. And if no other time at Christmas, we get those two really well down. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. But he didn't stop. It's a comma. Forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. The gift of Jesus changes our eternity, but the gift of Jesus also changes my today. Forgiving others as I've been forgiven through Christ. What an incredible Christmas this could be. If you've never received the gift of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave here today without talking to someone that can help you understand this gift. And if you've received the gift, it's our turn to respond, to offer the same gift, forgiveness, through Christ, offered to me, now given to any who have wronged me. And I promise the forgiveness of our God will begin to work in our heart in such a way that it overflows into all that we are. Forgiven. Christmas is forgiving. Every good gift has a story. And not just the story of how the gift came, but the life change that happens once we've received it. What a great, powerful, generous God that we serve. Amen. So I want to pray for you, and I want to pray with you as we begin to wrap up our service tonight. Join me if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift that changes everything. We thank you for the gift that you gave, that through Christ I can be forgiven, that we can be reunited, me and my Heavenly Father, as one because of the gift that you offered. Not that I deserve, not that I've earned, God, but simply placing my trust in the gift. All is restored. God, I thank you for the gift that you gave that we celebrate this Christmas. Help us to remember and to live that out. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.